Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Now, just 4 days till Christmas, and then it's Christmas. And I think Christmas season is such a special time of the year, and for a lot of different reasons. I mean, when I think about Christmas, I think about all the decorations. You drive through the neighborhoods at night, and it's a whole lot different than the rest of the year. I love all the lights. Love the house. You know, we have the Christmas tree up, and my wife likes to decorate, so there's always little Christmas doilies and things all over the place. And in fact, you know it's tough because when Christmas is over and all that goes away, doesn't the place feel barren? I mean, the church looks real nice when you got all this, but, you know, in a couple of weeks it's gone. It's like, whoa, back to the way it was. I like the smells of Christmas. When I was growing up, Mom would have the cranberry tea going, and every time you walked in that kitchen, the cranberry tea, you could smell it, calling out your name. And then the smells of the cookies and the pies and the cakes being made. I love the tastes of Christmas. All the different foods, the cookies, the pies, the treats. My wife makes this stuff to die for. It's almond bark covered pecans. And she also makes these chocolate-covered pecans. You get that and a glass of milk, you are set. So I love all the sweets at Christmas. I love all the food at Christmas. I love the specials. I love, you know, last week we had the Christmas cantata. That was a special thing. We got Christmas Eve service coming up. Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed those specials. They're great. I also enjoy the specials on TV. I still like the Grinch. I like watching The Grinch. I like watching the Peanuts and, you know, the Christmas tree that flops over on the side and poor Charlie Brown. And I enjoy watching It's a Wonderful Life. In fact, we finally broke down and bought It's a Wonderful Life, and I think we have the color version. I was mentioning it at the house, and Bradley just kind of hung his head and said, it won't be the same not seeing it in black and white. Enjoy the presents. Presents are fun. Presents are fun at Christmas. You know, you look at all this stuff, and this is what makes Christmas a lot of fun. And, of course, most of all that's important about Christmas is the birth of Jesus, right? Because that's a wonderful, incredible story. The virgin birth. Jesus, God becoming flesh. There's no better season than Christmas. In fact, a song you've probably heard several times, and I always enjoy it when Andy Williams comes on, but this song, I think, accurately sums up the Christmas season for most people. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And especially if you're a kid, right? Especially if you're a kid, we love Christmas. There's something magical about Christmas when you're little. But Christmas is a wonderful time. You can't beat it. Now, in the Christmas season, it's easy, however, to find yourself stressed out. It's easy for Christmas to be very hectic, especially after you grow up. When you get older and you have to deal with the traffic and you have to go shopping and all that, there's a lot of hectic things, travel plans, family coming in, Uncle Bob, you know, he's a weirdo. You got all this stuff. There's a lot of stress that can happen at Christmas. But it's not supposed to be stressful. It's supposed to be a joyful time. Christmas is supposed to be joyful. And when you think about the gospel accounts, the emotion, the emotive response that is the most recorded in the gospels is the emotion of joy. Joy. And as a Christian, your response to Christmas should be joy. What we're going to look at today is some passages. We're going to see the response of people to Christmas. And we're going to find the overriding response is a response of joy and praise. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are grateful for Jesus' birth and the salvation that his life will bring. Help us to understand the responses of the people we read about, and for that response, for those various responses, for those to become our response, if this morning we're feeling a little stressed and things seem a little hectic. In your son's name we pray, amen. Now, if we were to play a Bible trivia game about Christmas, here's where I would start. And this is a tough one. See how many of you can get this. Who is the first person to respond with excited joy at the news of Jesus' birth? And don't say it out loud. Okay, just think to yourself for a moment. Who was the first person to respond with excited joy at the news of Jesus' birth? Okay, here's the answer. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." It was not a glob of tissue in her stomach, it was a human being. And the very first response given in Scripture to Jesus' birth was an unborn baby. Somehow, mysteriously, when the proximity of Jesus came closer, that little baby, John, leaped with joy. He jumped inside of his mother. The very first response of any emotion in the New Testament to news of Jesus was from an unborn child. It was John. Little John the Baptist. And in his excitement, he leaped. Now, what was the next response? The very next response, of course, was Mom. If you look up here, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth herself, right after this, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, and then she hollers out, "Blessed are you among women." So what happens is her response to this baby leaping inside her, she's filled with the Spirit, and now she's hollering blessedness upon Mary. The second response to Jesus' birth. Now, Mary herself has a response. And it is recorded right after this. If you look in verse 46, two verses later, Mary said, "My soul exalts in the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will call me blessed." Now, before this, there's no record of what Mary's response is. No doubt she had a feeling of shock. Surprise, the fact that she was going to bear a child even though a virgin. But this is the first time in Scripture she's recorded as, and the term here, rejoice. The very first time. It follows on the heels of little John, on Elizabeth, and then it's recorded Mary, and of course she gives the Magnificat here. So in the months leading up to Jesus' birth, we have little John, we have Elizabeth, we have Mary. Now, you also know that there's a fellow by the name of Zacharias. Now, Zacharias is Elizabeth's husband. You all remember the story? The angel comes to Zacharias and says, "You're going to have a son." Well, he and his wife, Elizabeth, they're old. And his response is one of shock. Can you give me a sign? Okay, here's a sign. You're not going to be able to talk. And so the angel tells him, "You're not going to be able to talk till that baby's born." And you know the story. What happens is on the eighth day after John the Baptist is born, that's when all of a sudden his mouth opens up. And what does Zacharias do? And what does he say? "And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father." What happens is Zacharias, when he sees little John, he starts praising God. And why does he start praising God? Because my boy is going to be the herald for the Messiah. His response is joyful praise because he realizes my boy is going to go before Messiah. And that's why he's excited. So even before Jesus is born, everybody that we see in connection with him is filled with joy and excitement and praising God. Now let's speed forward, okay? Let's speed forward to Jesus' birth. Who's the next group that shows up in Scripture, chronologically speaking? It's the angels. It's the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy that will be for all the people. That's the response of the angels. We got a message. What's the message? Surprise! It's joyful. Now, what do the angels do right after they say this? Our message is joyful, and then watch what the angels do. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." So what the angels do is, first of all, they say, "We got a joyful message." Then they turn around and start rejoicing and praising God. And of course, what do the shepherds do? What's the shepherd's response to what the angels say? Well, let's take a look. Luke 2:10, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Because, see, the angels tell them, the Savior is going to be born. Go down into the city, and you'll find a baby in a manger. That's the sign. They go there, and that's why the verse says, they go glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. That's leaving from the manger, which were just as they had been told by the angels. So their response is joy and praising God. See, they were all pumped, even though there's no decorations. There's no smells. Well, there were smells. I take that back. Okay? But not of cranberry tea or cookies or pies. There were no specials at the synagogue that they could look forward to. There were no specials on TV. There were no presents. And yet these folks are all filled with joy and excited. Now who's the next group? Who's the next group? Now, if you look here, this is a typical scene of the manger. In fact, if you did not come in through the FLC foyer, but you came in through the very front of the coffee house, to your immediate left is a little nativity scene. And in a typical nativity scene, this is what you see. Three wise men. Now, I don't need to have a Christmas trivia question for this, because you know the wise men weren't there. Okay, the wise men, they didn't see Jesus was probably over a year old before the wise men bump into him. So as a result, we can just take a red line and cross out the wise men. They weren't there, okay? The guys aren't there. But when they do find the star, what's their response? Take a wild guess. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. It's the same Greek word that's translated rejoice, the same Greek word that's translated joy. Over and over again, this word joy keeps popping up. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They were pumped, weren't they? See, everybody in the know about Jesus' coming was pumped. And again, without any decorations, without any Christmas lights, without any cookies or cranberry tea or specials on TV or presents or anything. They're all pumped. They're full of joy. And that's why I think the most appropriate, the most appropriate yard decoration that you can have probably is something like this. Kudos if you have one in your yard. Because what it is a picture of Jesus being born surrounded by joy. And folks, that was what happened. The birth of a Savior and the emotional atmosphere, if you will, by all the people who were in the know, okay, in the know, was joy. And why? Because as Zechariah put it, and let's look at his words again, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. See, Zechariah knew his boy was going to come before this guy, the Messiah, to bring salvation. Now understand something, and this is really important, understand something. Little John, in fact, even older John, by the way, John, Elizabeth, Zacharias, Mary, every one of them thought when Jesus was going to be born that this salvation was going to be the national salvation for the country from the grips of Rome. They believed that the birth of Jesus was going to be a king with the power of David. That's what they were expecting. That's what they thought. That little baby would grow up and he would wipe everybody out who opposed Israel. Every one of them. There was only one group that was overjoyed at this time who had any inkling that that baby was going to die, and that was the angelics. They were the only ones who had a clue what his fate and his future was going to be. See, the folks who were in the know weren't really totally in the know. They were half right. Now, was their response of emotional joy appropriate then? I mean, because they're obviously a little confused. In fact, you remember later, John the Baptist, when he grows up, he sends a message to Jesus. Are you the one? I'm not expecting this. Where's the big sword? See, John's confused when he grows up. Their response of overwhelming joy was quite appropriate. And their response of joy at Jesus' birth is quite appropriate for you and me as well. I have another trivia question to ask you. And here's the question. What is the most published Christmas hymn in North America? And don't say it out, because you'll embarrass yourself. Probably, because I didn't get it first. What is the most published Christmas hymn in North America? The most published. It is not Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It is not O Little Town of Bethlehem. It is not What Child Is This? It is not O Come All Ye Faithful. It is not The First Noel. It is not Angels We Have Heard on High. And it is not Silent Night. The most published song beginning in the mid-20th century in all of North America was by Isaac Watts in 1719, Joy to the World. But you know what's ironic about that? The song has nothing to do with Jesus' coming the first time. Absolutely nothing. This song has no mention of a manger, no mention of a mother, no mention of a miraculous birth, no mention of angels, no mention of shepherds. There's absolutely nothing in this song that mentions anything about the birth of Jesus. Because Isaac Watts wrote this about Jesus' second coming. And he penned it based on Psalm 98. Let's just take a quick look at Joy to the World, the words, just to prove it to you, okay? Find it for me in here. It's not there. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. That's the idea. Royalty, power. And then watch, because what he does is he tries to get all creation involved in responding emotionally to this coming king. You know, the heavens and nature sing and let men their songs employ. The Savior reigns. Did Jesus reign when he came? No, he was crucified. No more let sin and sorrows grow. Folks, I live on a planet where sin and sorrow is growing daily. Nor thorns infest the ground. You got a garden? You know the answer to that one, right? He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Folks, that curse hasn't been dealt with totally yet. It's still hanging on. He rules the world with truth and grace. No, we're waiting for that day. This song that he penned, Isaac Watts, using Handel's melody, this was for the purpose of the second coming. Now let's take a look at Psalm 98, because this is where Watts got his idea for this song. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the seas resound. Do you see we're still talking anthropomorphically about creation being able to sing up? Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Which, of course, Watts picks up on his song. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Isn't it ironic that what becomes the most popular song in North America to sing at Christmas has nothing to do with Christmas? It's about Jesus' second coming. So you ask, well, Dave, how did this song become part of all of our Christmas hymns? And you know the answer? Well, tell me, because I don't. I have absolutely no idea. And everywhere I researched it, we have no idea where this came from. People just started singing this song. Well, I'll tell you probably where the link came, because it's about joy. And if you look at the gospel accounts, that word joy keeps popping up over and over again, and the atmosphere is one of praise to God. So people sang this song about joy and God, Christ coming, and so it just kind of worked its way into eventually we're all singing it at Christmas. And nobody really knows why or who started it, but we all do it. But based upon what we read in the Gospels, it's hard to see it as totally unconnected because, again, it's a song about joy. I hope I haven't ruined for you singing that song at Christmas. You're going to psychoanalyze it every time we sing it. You know, that's really not about Christmas. This is Christmas, okay? This is Christmas. The coming of Messiah Jesus in the world to save us from our sins. That's the joyous moment. In fact, understand, up until this point in history, this was the most joyous moment on planet Earth. And that's why you have angels. We have nothing else like this. You only have angelic show up a few times in the Old Testament. Samson, for instance, his life, he's one of those few individuals where there's an angelic announcement. John the Baptist, you get very few angelic announcements, but you don't get a parade by the angels. This is it. This is the most joyous moment on planet Earth up until this point in time. Jesus' second coming to this planet will be the most joyous moment for not just this planet, but the entire universe, for all creation. In Romans chapter 8, it's very explicit. All creation groans for the adoption of the sons of God. This whole planet, this whole universe is growing through pain. It's so waiting for Christ to come back. It wants to scream out joy to the world, which is why in Psalm 98, and also why you have Isaac Watts bringing in all creation. Because that will be the moment, really, joy to the world. And you can put an S on the end, joy to the worlds, the whole universe. Now, when Jesus comes back the second time, joy to the world will be the most appropriate song you can possibly sing. And you and I might be there for that one. We might just be here for that one. And if we are, I have a feeling you will not even consciously know it. You're just going to start spelling out, joy to the world. That's because he's there. And he's going to come out. If you know him, it will come out. If you have a relationship with him, you'll be singing joy to the world. And if not, you can look in Revelation chapter 6. Because there are people when Christ appears, when they see the appearance of the one sitting upon the throne, they will seek to hide themselves in caves and under the rocks of the mountains. That's a whole different response. There will be two responses when Jesus returns. To hide, hoping the mountains fall on you, or you're going to be singing joy to the world as loud as you can. Only two responses, folks. Only two. See, if this is Christmas for you, if that's all it is for you, is the presents and the smells and the special lights and the special programs and the food and the family, if that's all Christmas is, I guarantee you, you're not going to be singing joy to the world when he comes back. You won't. You'll be looking for a cave. But if your idea of Christmas is this, then when Jesus comes back, you are going to be at the top of your lungs. And I don't care how bad a singer you are. You're going to be screaming out joy to the world if this is your view of Christmas when he comes back. Make sure you know your relationship with God is right. Make sure you understand Jesus came to die for your sins. He rose again on the third day, and he did that because you cannot save yourself by what you do or how good you are or how much money you give or how much you darken the doors of your church. The only thing that will get you to the point where you can sing joy to the world when he comes back is if you have accepted and responded with total belief and trust in his death that atoned for your sins. That's it. Otherwise, don't bother to learn the words. You'll never sing them. Make sure this is your attitude about Christmas. Understand, that's Christmas right there. Christmas is Jesus. This is what makes Christmas joyful. This is what makes Christmas Christmas. Let's all stand together, and I'm going to pray, and then right after I pray, we're going to sing the first verse of Joy to the World. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus being born to save us from our sins. We look forward to the next time he comes. He will save this whole universe from its moral decay. And we will see a bright new world. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we rejoice and thank you for him coming into the world the first time to save us from our sins. And in his name we pray. Amen.